You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
How's life as a boxer?
Life as a boxer is good. You know, it's a sport I've always wanted to do. Get an opportunity to do it against Jake Paul. And, you know, dedicating all the time and attention to boxing is cumbersome. It's a lot to do, a lot to learn. Angles, positioning, you know, what punch to win and countering and conditioning. So it's a lot of work, but it's not like jiu-jitsu, wrestling, catch wrestling, sambo, judo, all these different things that you got to put into one sport that I feel like for me is going to be refreshing for me to, one, not have to cut 35 pounds, two, not have to focus on so many different martial arts and so many different variables. Only thing that can come towards me is a punch. So I'm embracing it. I'm loving it. And I think overall, it's a blessing in disguise. It's going to, one, bring my value up and what I'm worth overall anywhere, and also make me a better MMA fighter.
Do you feel that difference physically, you know, at this point in the training camp in terms of the grind on your body?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough on my calves because I'm working with two different styles of boxing. The Floyd Mayweather style, working with a guy named Gerald, we call him GT. It's a lot of angles and it's a lot of positioning, a lot of slipping, and it's always punching, but always being ready to counter and punch back with power. And that position of that foot is very meticulous. They're very, very strict and very, very so much perfectionist when it comes out to it. The Cuban boxing style is a lot about making people pay and making them hurt. But also is very fluid. It's almost like dancing, but it's a lot of moving. So my calves are burning a lot from that, a lot from the running, a lot from, you know, jumping rope and hitting the bag. You're on your toes the whole time. In mixed martial art, we had opportunity where we may be static against a octagon or cage, wherever you're fighting at. You may have a point where you're on the ground, you know, doing submission stuff, or you may have a part where you actually letting your legs leave the ground and kick or the knee. In boxing, your feet are on the ground the whole time. And then for me, I'm built like a running back. So that explosive motion, I'm just, you know, really kind of just honing in on. So that was the most taxing thing on my body the first couple of weeks, but now I'm getting used to it.
What about the different sparring? How much more or less sparring do you do?
I sparred a lot of boxing sparring my last fight. So, you know, it's going to be the same. I did a lot of rounds. I was sparring 8 rounds for my last fight, which was a 15-minute fight. So I was sparring 8 just to make sure I did the most. So we started on 6 at this camp, move up to 8, and then just try to make those 8 more dynamic where I'm not making mistakes and I'm punching harder, punching more. And then we're going to push it up to 10 rounds and then move the next week where 10 rounds is where I'm getting the most out of the 10 rounds. So if I can do that for 10 rounds against, you know, world-class strikers, then 8 rounds against Jake Paul is going to be a walk in the park.
So Jake posted a Photoshop of you guys, you and Floyd outside the Sunny Pastures retirement home. He said, how's Floyd Mayweather, who couldn't even get in shape or come up with a strategy to beat my brother, going to teach another old man how to beat me? your reaction to that?
None. I'm about to say anything. I mean, I can go back and forth. I can go back and forth and do all the jaw-jacking, but I'll save it for the press conference. I'll catch him off guard and I'll hit him with some facts and some shit that is just puzzling him. He has this whole thing scripted and he's all like, he's doing what he saw. He's doing what he saw Floyd do. He's doing what he saw me do. He's doing what he saw other fighters do. And now he's gotten the opportunity to jump into the sport of boxing and probably MMA and whatever else he wants to do after this, because he has a way of making people give a fuck. He has a way of making people want to see him win or want to see him lose. If I had a dollar for every person that told me, oh my God, you got to knock him out every single fucking day, then I would be Elon Musk Jr. if I had a dollar for every time somebody did that on a day-to-day basis. So for me, it's a mental warfare game. And, you know, I've always been prepared for these types of press conferences. I've always been prepared for these kinds of opponents. I never got to do it in MMA. You know, I didn't get to fight the Nick Diaz, the bitch being the people that actually will lift up a fight. So this is just going to be the MMA fans and the combat people in general first time seeing me really get a chance to do this. So I'm saving the juice for the day. I'm not bothered by nothing he's saying. There's nothing he can do. And even if it was a whole year to get ready to prepare for what I've done, you know, my entire life before professional fighting, before amateur fighting, before even street fighting, you know what I mean? Just fighting in a house for a slice of pizza. So I've been fighting my whole life. I am a fighter. It's in my DNA. He's an entertainer and the fighting is an avenue he's using to get money and to get eyeballs on him. But this is really who I am.
How long will you be working with Floyd for the camp?
You know, they're invested. They're invested not just because of, you know, the gotcha hat bullshit, because Floyd has always kind of believed in me. He reached out to me long ago. There's been many interviews, many conversations. He's talking about me or me training him for MMA or just us collaborating. You may see pictures with us. So he's seen something in me that, you know, a lot of people saw. And at the time, maybe, you know, I didn't get the push that people thought I should have gotten, but he said, man, you smart, you're strategic, and you know, you can box. He saw that. And even without even seeing me really box, like people see me in gym, I'm better in the gym than I'm in fights. So in reality, he's always wanted to help. This just became the perfect time and the perfect opportunity that he was able to do so. So he's bouncing back and forth from Vegas to Miami. He does have a coach here. Like I said before, his name is Gerald. We call him GT. He lives here in Miami. He told him, he said, hey, I want you to just cancel all your traveling. I want you to stay put. I want you to make sure Tyron got everything he needs. And that's what he's doing. So working with Pedro Diaz is going to lead the camp. He's going to be the chief second. GT is going to be obviously a very intricate component. And then my coach, Eric Brown from Los Angeles, I've been working with him since 2008. He's the first boxing coach that actually gave me a chance with no boxing coaches wanting to train MMA guys. You know what I mean? We came in the gym with tap out shorts and wrestling shoes and looking goofy with big, you know, Fairtech gloves on. So now it's the point where, you know, I earned that key. I earned that respect from people in the boxing gym as just a great boxer that happens to do MMA. So I'm going to make a run at this, at these belts, these, you know, so many fucking belts. I don't even know which one to go after. WBC, IBF, NWA, whatever belt is out there. You know, I really want to make a real run at a world championship in boxing. So I'm actually training through this Jake Paul fight.
It's easy.
Training through this fight. I'm training through. We're probably going to fight twice, to be honest. It's a lot. This is going to be the biggest pay-per-view. And I know you see the UFC even promoting, ooh, the biggest pay-per-view of the year. It's not. They're only doing it because this is the biggest pay-per-view of the year. How many times has Conor McGregor been about the fight and me get more attention than him?
Yeah.
First time we've ever seen that. Yeah. So, you know, so I'm excited for this. And I think because of that, I think you'll see us fight a few times.
Is there a rematch clause in the contract?
Yeah, it's a rematch clause in the contract. So he made a lot of about me not accepting some bet. One, you're not in the fucking driver's seat, young man. You're not finna fucking sit here and tell me I'll double your purse. You ain't paying my purse. And if you are, shit, pay me double it anyway. If you big baller, shot caller, and that's what we're doing, but I just wasn't finna give him the time of day. It sounded fucking amazing. I kind of kicking myself for not, you know, accepting it publicly where he had to live up to it. But that's just a part of his mind thing. I don't think it's really about money for him. I think he's okay financially. I think he's, you know, got a lot of things that's moving forward where he's making money. I think it's just a bucket list thing for him. And they gassing him up that he's a real boxer and can really do it. And, you know, so that's what I think that is. But by him putting the rematch clause in there automatically tells me, one, that he automatically accepting the fact that he can lose this fight. I'm not accepting that. I'm not even letting it enter my eyes, ears, mind, conversation, my circle. Anybody bring that up, you are fucking canceled. So for me, the fact that he did that already shows me that, you know, he recognized what I'm capable of and what I can do to him.
And then after that, do you have other fights in the contract where you can go and box other guys? Like, and if so, who are the guys that you want to box?
Yeah, I got a contract with myself. It's called Tyron Woodley, the first ever pure free agent in combat sports. I can fight wherever the fuck I want. I can fight who I want, when I want, on my terms, for the money that I want to make. I can fight in organizations with gloves, without gloves. I can do jiu-jitsu. I can go in Asia. I can fight here in the States. I can be on any network. I can do whatever I want to do. And I'm really going to start my own promotion company so I can actually start, you know, on the business side, it makes sense for me to start getting a little piece of everything. So I'm going to start promoting myself first. And if I like doing it and it's something I'm passionate about and I'm good at, maybe I'll entertain promoting other fighters.
Do you think that Floyd was more motivated to put his support behind you given the result of the fight with Logan?
I think Floyd just was asked a question on who did he have. You know, if you had the bet, who are you think you're going with, Tyron, or you're going with Logan? I mean, Jake. And he didn't immediately say me. He thought about it and said, you know what? I'm going with Woodley. And I'm going to train him too. So in addition to saying that he feel I'm going to win, he feel as if, you know, his mindset, his years and years of experience at a very high level and being the greatest defensive boxer, and to many, and, you know, arguably could be the greatest boxer of all time, you know, he literally said, I'm going to get behind him. I'm going to train him. I didn't know if it was just going to be for a few Instagram pictures or if it was just to piss off Jake or if it was purely to go out there and have me beat him for, you know, the disrespect that he felt like he incurred through Jake. But he told me himself out of his own mouth, he said, I want you to look like a world champion boxer in your first fight. I want everybody to be like, oh my God, this kid is fucking going to be a world champion in boxing. And when I had the workouts with him, the workouts replicated that. The knowledge that he instilled, the techniques, the drills. And don't leave out GT. GT is a, he's going to be the one actually in the corner. He's the one that's, you know, the first guy that's ever signed to Floyd Mayweather in 2000. Is Pan Am's, you know, Olympic alternate, and trained a lot of guys, Gervonta Davis, Adrian Broner. He's a very, very meticulous specialist and perfectionist when it comes to boxing. His skills are beyond measure. So he is the heir of the Mayweather camp. He's the thing that's tapping me in with those guys, and he's going to be there for the fight. So they want to see me do well, and they want to support me, and they've always wanted to support me. And this is a good opportunity, and it's the first time. And just look at it. I'm in their world, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm very thankful. Shout out to Floyd, his entire camp, the money team, GT for sure. Spending time. We worked last night. Phenomenal work, training session. So that's really what it is. It's work. It's not for show. It's not fucking for Instagram. It's not, you know, for views and follows. It's real deal. And you're going to see more of it.
And you've been letting people into your camp every single day. I mean, I see you go live. I think almost every day. It feels like you're doing.
I went live twice. I had been live in so long. And I've been so locked into the camp. So I went 2 days back to back. So it seems as if I go live every day, but I actually been kind of off social media. I post what I post. I become my own filter. If I feel about it, if I feel a certain way about something, I'm posting. If I think some shit's funny, I'm posting it. But I'm not really showing people. I'm not really showing people what I'm doing. I'm showing people the warm-ups. I'm showing people a glimmer, because if I show them what I'm really doing, if I really show them the training, I really think this kid gonna try to find a way out this fight. That's why I said in the beginning, I said, no bitch out clause, no bitch out clause. Like, I'm really gonna hashtag that, because I want to let the people see that where my mind is at. And when they see, they can't enter into my brain. You know what I mean? It's a fucking possible to do. But they can see how I'm training. They can see me smiling. They can see the work ethic. They can see the technique, the attention, the detail. And like, oh, them tiring back. But if I do that, I do feel like, yo, my hymen hurt, my Achilles. Oh, you know, I think he's going to find a way out of it, because it's easy for him to make excuse. He's in a situation where he got nothing to lose, right? If you lose to me, I'm a 5-time world champion fighter and knock a lot of people out. He can at least easily talk his way out of there, and we'll still watch him again. I'm not in the same position as him. I got to go ham on him. If I lose, he's already trying to paint a narrative. I'm a YouTuber and, you know, vlogger and Disney kid, and I'm taking on this champion. And blah, blah, blah. He's doing that. But it's a fight. It may not be a first-round knockout. You know what I mean? But it's a chess match, and my only goal and my only intention is to embarrass, hurt, and knock him out, and that's the reality of it.
So you said earlier that you're a better fighter in the gym than you are.
Always been that way, and I'm trying to change that.
Right. So what are you doing to ensure that you show up when the lights are on?
I mean, one thing is the pressure that I've always incurred was one of which I was trying to prove people wrong. So now my intent is way different. It's so clear. I want to maximize, and everything that I do in the gym, I want to actually do in a fight. And my mindset is to prove to people that are training me right. Yes, your techniques do work. Thank you, mom and sisters and everybody that loves me. I appreciate your support. Now I'm going to go out here and win big for us. So that mindset takes a lot of the pressure off. You know what I mean? With the what ifs are erased with preparation and you know, just consistency. So me doing that, I'm just putting myself in position. Consistency, work ethic, just choosing to say, fuck it when I'm tired, when I don't feel like it, when I don't feel like getting up, when I'm sore. I just don't have that mindset to take the long breaks and the trips and the vacations and, you know, the fucking listen to the politics and allow it to affect me. Right now, I got a fresh slate. This is my time to go big again. I've been at the top. You know, I've had a tremendous run in the UFC, and I had a big fall. You know what I mean? Very visible. A lot of people saw it. You know what I mean? It's like you falling from the Empire State Building, and everybody who wanted to see you fall, what they wanted. And they watched you fall from so far. It takes balls to get back up and start climbing to the top again. And I'm doing that right now. So the things that built me, the humility, the hard work, the dedication, the stuff that put me in position to be a champion when I got the chance, I'm doing the same things now. So like I said before, I'm not underestimating Jake. Jake's a good fighter. It's going to look like a fight. I promise you that. It will not look like a UFC fighter picking on a YouTuber. He can fight and he can box, and it will look like a fight. And it is a fight. Some of these other things that are going on is great because it's entertainment. Like, come on now. Every UFC fight that we see that's matched up is not the number one contender versus the champion. It's what people want to see. It's what moves the needle. That's why he's in a position to even have this fight, because 20 million subscribers and zillions of followers and people that want to see him get beat up or win or lose or whatever the case may be, he has a wave in that follower of people. That's why he's here. So how can people say this fight shouldn't happen? There's no different than Brock Lesnar jumping over in the UFC. There's no different than Conor McGregor being out forever and fighting whenever he wants to and come back and fight a Donald Cerrone, who was not even in position. It was entertainment, and we accepted and we allowed it. So this is the same thing. It will look like a fight, and I'm okay with that. I don't have to prove. I don't have to go out there and like, oh, he better not ever hit me one time, and I better just smoke him in 30 seconds. No, that's stupid-ass pressure. Dude's big. He can knock people out, whether it was fucking a basketball player or a world-class fighter that primarily relied on wrestling. He can do it, you know what I mean? And whether someone started, you know, playing chess or bowling, and they learned the skills to box, you can't take away what they've learned. So it will look like a fight, and my goal is to make it a lopsided one.
And who from the MMA community has reached out to you in support?
I've been kind of closed off. I haven't really been talking to a lot of people. It's surprisingly enough, like, let's not get it twisted. It's not like I was painted out to be some fucking hero before I left. You know what I mean? People respected me on the way out because they saw me come out with fire. Got caught with a shot. First time ever I can actually say I got caught with a shot. I was going for the kill. So people respected me for that anyway. You know what I mean? Also, in defeat, I never really, you know, I always gave props where it was due, whether I showed up, whether I was mentally there, whether, you know, all the things I had going on in my life took away from my performances or not. I still had to give. Usman came out there and showed up. It don't matter what I was doing, you know what I mean, in my life and, you know, how, you know, I felt about the sport or what the politics did or what my mind was at or I felt like it don't matter. He showed up and, you know, I can't take it away from him. But some people that are supporting Jake that are MMA, some UFC fighters are, you know, want to see him win. They're fans of him. They, you know, they think he'll beat me. They think I'm older, like whatever. And like, I never once got into this sport. I've never once been in any type of ring or fucking locked in anywhere where a boo or a cheer helped me win. Never helped me win, never helped me lose. Mm-hmm. If you support me, I appreciate you. But it's not a necessity for me to go out there and do what I need to do.
My favorite question, and I know that it's the fighter's favorite question whenever I ask it, what do you have any sort of prediction for what's going to happen?
I got a prediction that I'm going to walk in there, I'm going to fight him, and I'm going to win. And I don't know what round. I know what I can tell you what my intent is. My intent is to hurt him and embarrass him. My intent is to hurt anything that's put in front of me in any sport, in any fucking arena. From now on, there's no point of me going out there and just winning anymore. Like, my whole goal is to go out there and fucking provide violence and damage and hurt people and win in a fashion where, you know, it looks like me and then everybody else. So that's my prediction for the fight. The round, the method, you know, where he lands when he hits the ground, none of that is on the forefront of my mind. I'm just putting myself in position to every chance I get, every opening that's provided, everything he throws that I make a miss, I'm just looking for the ultimate damage.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.